listening to AR Zone, podcasts featuring interviews and commentary from Animal Rights Zone, the online social network for humans who seek justice for other animals. You can find us on the web at www.arzone.net. I'm your host, Carolyn Bailey.
Joining Roger and I today as our special guest is our friend Dr. Casey Taft of Vegan Publishers. Casey is a professor of psychiatry and internationally recognized researcher in the areas of trauma and the family. He's published over 100 journal articles, book chapters, and scientific reports, and has consulted with the United Nations. Casey sees the prevention of violence toward other animals as a natural extension of his work with humans, understanding that working toward the prevention of violence done to other animal species follows naturally from working to end the violence humans do to each other. He's the co-owner of Vegan Publishers and has a brand new book called Millennial Vegan. Casey will also be speaking at this weekend's VegFest UK Brighton event. Casey, it's wonderful to welcome you back to AR Zone. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Casey, as I just mentioned, you're going to be speaking this weekend at VegFest Brighton. Can you please give us a preview of what we can expect from you there?
Sure. So I'll be giving talks based on my two animal advocacy books that I've written, one that I wrote last year called Motivational Methods for Vegan Advocacy, and the one that you mentioned, Millennial Vegan, which focuses on providing tips for younger vegans about kind of navigating relationships, anger, loneliness, dealing with hostility and aggression from others and abusive behavior and that sort of thing. I really was struck by all of the amazing young vegans who are out there on social media and otherwise who really develop awareness about the harm we do to non-human animals at such an early age. So I'm just always kind of in awe and impressed by younger vegans. And I also get a lot of messages on our Vegan Publishers page from younger vegans who will describe difficulties they're having in talking to their families or feeling bullied by other people and just feeling depressed and suicidal, having all kinds of reactions to how other people are responding to them, that it just really struck me that there are really aren't any books out there for them. And I wanted to write something that would help provide some kind of tips for how to navigate things and for how to deal with this kind of stuff, really as a way to try to support them.
Thanks, Casey. I really appreciate the idea behind this book because I have a teenage son and I know that there's, like you just said, there's not a lot out there that sort of specifically, I know you're not specifically targeting teenagers, but there's not a lot out there that specifically target young people. So I'm really looking forward to reading it and I appreciate what's gone into it. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was just going to add that I tried to write the book such that it would apply to a fairly broad age range. So it would apply to teenagers as well as, folks out, up and through their 30s. And I actually think it applies to pretty much anyone, including older adults as well, because it talks about some basic ideas about how to communicate better, how to deal with anger, how to improve relationships, and also issues related to advocacy. But some of the issues are maybe a little bit more specific for younger vegans. So that's why we called it Millennial Vegan, because that really covers a pretty broad age range, up to about age 34, I think, is typically how it's defined.
Thanks, Casey.
So, hi, Casey. Roger here. How are you doing?
Hey, Roger. How's it going?
Not too bad. So, yeah, you mentioned in that answer about you receive a lot of messages from younger vegans, and that's how you start off the chapters, isn't it, of the book? With what they've said, and then you kind of elaborate, right?
Right. Yeah. That is a style that that I use for my last book as well, Motivational Methods for Vegan Advocacy, and it's one that I've kind of learned as a psychologist. The more that you can use people's real words, the more the better you can illustrate. Illustrate scenarios and situations to make it a little more personal and a little more real.
You tackle the sometimes difficult issue of talking to loved ones or family members about veganism. And I guess that all of us here in this podcast probably have seen a lot of distress caused to vegans because they just don't seem to be able to get through to those that they care deeply about. And as a sociologist, I've brought this up, you know, quite a lot, you know, over the years in my talks. Crops up a lot during street stalls as well. And the long-time vegan activist Brenda McNally has also addressed the issue. You've got a chapter which is called Challenges Communicating with Loved Ones, and you recommend revisiting an earlier chapter about assertive communication. So can you give our listeners an account of what you've got to say about how to talk to loved ones while being not aggressive but assertive communicators?
Yeah. Well, I think being assertive is so important for how we communicate with others, and it's also important for our advocacy. So, in my day job as a psychologist and programs that I've developed to prevent conflict in families, assertiveness is such a key thing that we go over again and again. And the reason is because it's really the best way to communicate. It's the best way to get a point across so the other person will hear what you've said. So rather than going from one extreme, which is being passive, where you're keeping in all your feelings and you're stuffing your anger, you're stuffing your other emotions. You know, as we all know, the more you stuff these feelings, the more you keep it in, it just builds and builds and it explodes. Or else the person just becomes depressed because they're keeping in all these negative feelings and they're not letting them out. Or they go to the other extreme and are aggressive, where they're, you know, just yelling at everybody or calling people names. And we know that doesn't work very well. So really being assertive means to be respectful of oneself, because you're not stuffing things, you're not kind of abusing yourself in any way, but you're also being respectful of other people because you're not jumping down their throat and calling them names. That's really just the best way to get a point across and to have healthier and happier communication with others.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it seems to have something to do with avoiding burnout as well, I reckon. You say that it might be necessary for vegans to not attend family events like barbecues and major holidays. I suppose you're thinking of Christmas and Thanksgiving there in the US. So even though that can be a kind of difficult thing to do, you seem to suggest that it may be one of the best things for some vegans in terms of their mental well-being. Now, you might not be surprised that the so-called vegan strategist reaches the exact opposite conclusion to you. Ever wanting to place vegans in a bad space, he suggests that what vegans should do is put aside their principles and take part in the rights violations that are occurring. So what are your views about this so-called pragmatic advice?
Well, and I know a lot of people have strong opinions about this. There's also the Liberation Pledge, which is basically about, you know, refusing to dine with other people, eating non-human animals. I tend not to give kind of such a, one-size-fits-all response to that. I think different people in different situations need to decide for themselves that what's best for them, what's best for their relationships. However, I do think that kind of along the lines of being assertive, people need to recognize what's good for them and what's not good for them. And I know for me personally, seeing people that I care about, that I love, eating animals is something that is profoundly upsetting for me to see, you know, especially because these folks I know to be really kind and otherwise really loving and caring people. And I know it impacts my relationship with them and my communication with them when I observe that. It puts me in a really bad mood. And I've learned that it's not good for me and it's not good for my relationship. So I don't do it anymore. And I tell them why. You know, I'm open about it and I communicate about it. And, you know, for years I did kind of grin and bear it and would go to family events where people would be eating animals and, you know, and we'd bring our own vegan food and people would always like the taste of it, but it never really got any further than that. Like we're not turning anybody vegan from bringing vegan food to anybody's parties. And I think it is perfectly reasonable to tell other people, you know, sorry, I won't be able to attend because it's too upsetting for me to see other people eating animals. You know, just as it would be upsetting for you to come to somebody's house and see everybody eating dogs or cats, it's similarly upsetting for me to see that. And that's really part of being assertive, to let other people know how you feel in a way where you're not putting them down, but you're being really clear and speaking out against injustice.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I agree with that, and I think that's a great answer. So thanks for that. Actually, one bit of the book that I really liked was where you said that you thought that when you met your future wife, there was all that thing about eating of a fish. But then you said that if she hadn't gone vegan with you, that she probably wouldn't be married. So does this kind of person realize that her decision to go vegan means that she's lumbered with you? Is that, does she realize that?
I'm not sure if she fully grasped the consequences.
Yeah, she might not have thought it through.
Right. Well, when I met my wife, I was more I guess what you call plant-based, where the ethics of veganism really, I really didn't, for whatever reason at that point, I was more of a health vegan, or not a health vegan, but I was like a plant-based health person. And for whatever reason, I hadn't fully grasped the ethics of veganism. So we more or less went vegan at the same time, where at some point, because a friend assertively challenged me about veganism, where I went to my wife and said, like, this is something I really want to do, and she agreed, and we did it together.
Actually, on the basis of that answer, I want to ask you a really serious question, which is, can you remember the gap between you being a health vegan and then you getting tuned into the ethics? Because some people make a lot of the fact that a lot of people fall off, the wagon. And, some people put it at 75%, some even higher. And the suggestion seems to be that it's the health vegans or the non-ethical vegans that do that. And so it seems to me that it doesn't matter about the initial motivation, so long as the ethics come in fairly soon. Would that kind of correspond with your kind of experience?
Well, yeah. Well, I think if the ethical part of it didn't kick in for me, I would never have become vegan. I think, just like any other diet, I would, possibly cheat here and there, or I would not really stay firm in my conviction. So I think it wasn't until that the ethics really resonated with me. And it's not that before, when I was plant-based, I didn't think about ethics at all. It was just, I don't think I really grasped what was going on. I just was kind of unaware, and the information wasn't so readily available like it is now, where I was just seeing it everywhere. It wasn't until I really began to see it and learn about what was going on that I realized I had no choice. It's funny, because I think I always knew that. Even when I was younger, I think I always knew it was wrong what we did to animals. And I remember when I was in my 20s, I was dating an animal rights activist, and she would start to tell me about what happens to animals. I remember telling her that I didn't want to know, because if I listened to what she said, then I would have no choice but to go vegan. I kind of knew it back then. But maybe at some level, I felt like my life was like so messed up, and I was like dealing with too many things that I just couldn't make any changes at that time.
Yeah, cheers for that.
Casey, how can we get hold of a copy of Millennial Vegan?
Well, it can be pre-ordered on Amazon now. We just kind of posted the Amazon page just yesterday. It will be out and more readily available in about a month or so. And it should also be available on our vegan publishers page in about a month when it's released.
Fantastic. Speaking of vegan publishers, can you tell us a little bit about vegan publishers and everything that goes into running vegan publishers?
Yeah. So vegan publishers, we started maybe about 4 years ago, my wife and I, and really the goal was to elevate voices of other activists and to help, provide folks with a platform. And also to kind of highlight areas that we thought were important that maybe weren't really getting a lot of focus. And that's really how we operated. And I think it might be because, you know, by day I'm an academic, and when I do research, I try to focus on something that I feel like needs to be focused on that nobody else is doing. That's kind of what an academic does. And that's sort of our approach of being publishers too, where we try to publish books where we feel like there isn't enough focus on. Yeah, so we've been doing that for 4 years, and we had, neither my wife or I had ever worked in a publishing house before. So we're kind of had to learn the business on our own. My wife is an artist, so she had the artistic side of things, and she's able to recognize good illustration, for example, where I my area is more kind of academic publishing. So I've been, you know, an editor in different journals and that sort of thing. So we kind of combined our talents and we're just kind of learning as we go. It's not, we don't do it really to make a lot of money, because there isn't really any money in small publishing. We do it really as that's really our activism, and our activism, our platform is all because of Vegan Publishers, and yeah, and we enjoy doing it. But in, you know, in some ways it's a bit of a thankless job too, because I think sometimes people see us as a publisher, you know, thinking we're like Random House or something like that. And we're certainly we're not a big publisher raking in a lot of money. Like, basically, we're doing this on our own because we think it's something that's important to do.
That is important, Casey. Thanks for that. Thank you very much for spending time with us today. I know it's a busy week for you. Good luck on the weekend up in Brighton, and thank you for everything that you continuing to do on behalf of both humans and other animals.
Thanks so much. I appreciate the chance to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Casey.
Thank you. This is past maturity. No member of the animal kingdom ever did a thing to me. So I don't need red meat or white fish. Don't give me no blue cheese.